He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday. It is the morning after Idalia, the hurricane that came through our area. We got hit last night at 8:30 p.m. for a couple hours, and it was touch and go there for a while. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, and I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst, who will be weighing in here in a bit. But right now we've got the Dow up 80, mostly on the back of Salesforce, which had a very good report last night, and the software stocks are leading the way here in the market today. We have the NASDAQ is up 47 right now. It's at 14,066. S&P is up 9 to 4523. The Russell 2000 small caps, they're up 30 basis points. Crude oil making a pretty big move here today. I saw some predictions out there that we'll get to here in a bit for where crude could be headed in 2024. Crude's up $1.08 today to $82.71. Gold is flat. It's at $19.70. Can't quite get through that 2000 area. The 10-year is quiet today, 4.11% after the PCE report, which we'll also talk about here in a bit. And Bitcoin is down 267 to 27,150. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only firm. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And Barry, you missed it. I know you were out of town, but we kind of escaped by the skin of our teeth here last night with Hurricane Idalia. Now, obviously, was it Cedar Key and Fish Creek and those areas in the Big Bend? They got slammed. But, of course, once it hits land, it really loses a lot of its punch. I would say it was mostly, in our area, it was mostly a water rising
event. Water event, right?
Yeah, it wasn't rain.
And we got out of town. We had to get that. My wife was celebrating a milestone, what I've been told I have to refer to as a milestone birthday this week. And so we had to bump up, get out of there a day early. We're supposed to travel today, and so we didn't know what was going to happen with the weather. But yeah, we left you there, and you held down the fort.
I mean,
all the reports we get are mainly just flooding. But
it's the highest tide that I've seen since I've been here, and we had a blue moon, which happens once in a blue moon, which causes a king tide, and it came right at the time of. The blue moon and the high tide and the hurricane hit all at the same time. And my neighbor's house, it breached his backyard a little bit, almost, I've never seen that happen. To see waves breaking in his backyard's a little unusual.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And, it was a kind of a white knuckle about 8, 9 p.m., 10 p.m. last night as the water was really close to us.
And you don't know when the thing is, you don't know when it's going to crest. I mean, that's usually where it's always, think it's going to crest. The water's going to get this high in this vicinity, right? But you don't know how long that water's going to be there and when it's going to start going.
Well, the only thing I knew, the tide table, and I knew when high tide was.
Right.
And I knew if we could get to that, we were okay. Now, I talked to my sister down in the Bradenton-Palmetto area. She also said it was the highest surge. She's on Tampa Bay. She's influenced by Tampa Bay. Highest surge she's ever seen. Covered her dock and a lot of her backyard, but never encroached inside her house. So, anyways, Idalia has come and gone. Hopefully there won't be a J, okay? Hopefully there will not be a J hurricane out there waiting. So anyways, we had a good day in the market yesterday. Not bad. I mean, the NASDAQ was up 75 points. The market keeps getting bad news that it likes, you know, weaker than expected ADP jobs report, GDP
right?
being revised downwards.
Downward, yeah.
So
I was following along yesterday, yeah, and that seemed like that seemed to be the theme. And then, of course, you know, they get the PCE index today, and basically everything comes in line. It's like the analyst kind of finally got the numbers right there, just in terms of probably the most important report in our minds this week. And it comes right in, basically comes right in line, and is almost a non-newsmaker. But it also does give. You know, from our percentage chances, and I was pulling them up this morning. The in terms of the Fed with that news, right? You've got heard a lot more indications of potentially a pause at this next meeting. I think the percentage chances are in the 88th percentile at this point. So we'll see. Really, the numbers are coming in, fairly beneficial, at least from a Fed hike standpoint.
Yep, the market loves all this bad news. Yeah, the other one is the the other one that we got here today.
The Chicago PMI came in a little bit higher
than consensus.
That
was what I was trying.
And you had inflation. Did you see you probably saw it earlier this morning, the inflation numbers for the ECB came in, pretty much above 5%. So Europe, as we've mentioned, continues, will have a tougher time, I believe, particularly on the energy side of things, to get inflation, under control. And that's why
they've
got a little bit more work to do than we do, I believe.
Yeah, and the one area that's still a problem here, those initial jobless claims every Thursday. They just refused to go down to go up. They dropped again to 220. That seems to be the
28?
One bugaboo.
Yeah.
The one fly in the ointment there is the labor market that continues to have the Fed, I'm sure, chewing their fingernails. So, anyways, we've got
uniqueness. And here's the uniqueness of how we're paying attention to these reports. Though this is what was funny. I mean, the number coming in at 228. Consensus was 235, and I've seen like verses where it's like came in much lower than expected. Like, it's 7,000 jobs, right? And important to those 7,000 people that are obviously on those jobless claims. But, the 7,000, jobs make or break, right? A 25 basis point rise or not, no rise in the Fed. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
How we pay attention to these numbers at the moment, and times past, they just end up being a ticker on the bottom of the screen, right?
Yeah, exactly.
As you're working through your day.
Well, I'll tell you the other stocks everybody's looking at today, in the aftermath of this hurricane, it obviously was not anywhere near as bad. Of course, the Weather Channel, words like catastrophic, and all of the hyperbole that they use, none of it really came to pass. And today, I see Generac down, I see Home Depot down, I see Lowe's down, and I see all the insurers up. So obviously that did not materialize at all into what –
but for population
days,
centers, right? And
yeah.
Didn't hit, so Cedar Key, they've never seen anything like that. Very catastrophic for them. But if you can pick, if you pick a part of Florida that's less populated, right, that area – would be it, which in turn, like you said, the Home Depot down, Generac down, direct hit on Tampa, right?
Yeah.
Would have been a different outcome for those stocks, I would imagine, obviously, for the state as well.
But. And I don't even see one twig. I walked my whole block. There's not even one twig down, not even a twig. So that tells you something. Usually in the past, we've got debris everywhere.
The water probably washed those twigs away.
Not even a twig. So anyways, the Weather Channel can gear up for the next one. And I think their job is to scare the heck out of you and sell advertising and sell Generac generator systems. Okay, jobless claims come in lighter than expected. The other problem area, on the one hand, our economy and jobs market might be a little bit too hot, but as we look around the world, China's manufacturing activity contracts for a fifth straight month, to 49.7. So they're now actually in contraction, anything under 50. And that probably continues to be the worst spot around the world is what's going on in China. Now, we don't get a lot out of China, what's really going on, boots on the ground type stuff. But definitely all of their reports, which I'm sure are worse than they're actually reporting, they haven't been very good at all. And, you know, I don't know if it was their draconian lockdowns on COVID. Something has really stalled and is hurting that Chinese economy. Okay, when we come back, earnings, multiple, and interest rates. That's what drives the market. We'll be right back. Back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Wow, the software stocks really on fire today, set off by Salesforce, which is a member of the Dow. They reported last night, Mark Benioff's company, and it's also sending other software stocks. I would say the two best charts I've seen so far, Salesforce, obviously, and Adobe.
And CrowdStrike. Check out CrowdStrike after they reported. They reported yesterday too. So yeah, that's a CRM, CrowdStrike.
Well, our ultra growth portfolio continues to do very well. It has 20 stocks in it today. Two of them, Adobe is one of the stocks we own there, and CrowdStrike, and those stocks are pushing that portfolio higher again today. All right, now, we've got earnings coming in tonight from Broadcom, which has been on a roll recently. That's AVGO. And the company
Another one we own, right?
Yes, the company they're merging with, VMware, is also reporting tonight. And then you've got Lululemon, which could be interesting. We'll see. I mean, it's one of the few bricks and mortars that's still thriving. You got Dell Technologies, and you have Mongo, which is a software stock. So those will be the reports tonight. Now, the French inflation is 4.8. The German inflation yesterday was 6.1. I think Germany has more of an energy problem. Of course, they lost their pipeline. Somebody blew up the Nord Stream pipeline that supplied Germany, and most things... Most of the indicators point to us as blowing that thing up.
And or Russia, right? One or the other, right?
Yes, but, and I think Germany's got more of an energy problem than France does. But France's inflation's 4.8. Yesterday we saw Germany at 6.1.
Yeah, and France has a lot of, they have a lot of nuclear power.
Yes,
so,
exactly.
You can tell, that difference in... You know, it's really in policy, right? In terms of energy policy, you can tell that a big difference between those two things.
Absolutely,
is the energy difference. So.
And a few points in inflation is a lot. I mean, from difference between 4.8 and 6.1 is a huge difference. Now, Barclays is raising their projections for oil prices. This is Brent crude, which usually trades at a premium over West Texas, but they're raising their target by $8 a barrel to $97 a barrel for 2024. And I would say that, the oil stocks, they've definitely been one of the better sectors to be in. It's not like they're going gangbusters or anything like that. In particular, the oil service stocks, that continues to be a fairly strong sector in the market. And, if it got up into the 90s there, obviously that would be bullish for the oil sector. If Barclays is right, they should have a pretty good handle on it. I mean, they're the biggest bank out of the UK over there, and right on top of all that Brent crude. So I would think that their report forecast would be pretty trustworthy. UBS to merge Credit Suisse's Swiss bank into its own, cutting 3,000 jobs. That was one of the movers in the market. Let me see if it's still moving. Yeah, that's the other stock of the day is UBS. They bought out the what was it they ended up with? Bank of Switzerland? Well, no, Credit Suisse.
Deutsche Bank.
And Credit Suisse, no? Yeah. When they had all those troubled assets and all that, it was Credit Suisse.
You're right. Yep.
Okay,
that was the last one, right?
So UBS,
they got Deutsche Bank in the last, the most recent one, right?
Yes, they're an aggregator of all the bad banks.
They know how to take on the stuff no one wants, right?
Yeah. So UBS is up 5.5%. That's one of that's probably the bank to own right now because they got those assets pretty cheap. That stock's up 5.5% today. That's a big move. That's one of the best charts in the market, and it happens to be a global bank stock, which I can't think of many other bank stocks that look like that. U.S. is going to expand.
Not of that size.
No. They're going to expand NVIDIA, AMD, artificial intelligence, chip export curbs to some Middle Eastern countries. Okay, so we already know about China. AMD has been a pretty sideways stock recently in that 106, 107 area. NVIDIA continues to be the best stock in the entire market. That's just my observation. I wrote about that last week, last Friday. It was the featured stock of the week. It's had a tremendous week this week. That was the article I wrote for Seeking Alpha that finally got published. You know, after the stock was breaking out and hitting new highs, they finally published it. It's very frustrating. And, you know, I got an email. It was a poll being taken by Seeking Alpha of all their premium writers like myself. Now, I was just honest with them, you know. I said, it's an uphill battle with all the bureaucracy and whatnot that I've had to deal with. I mean, it's just not worth the time. Those articles, my experience is you're looking at 3 hours minimum, right, to write an article, all right? And
and that doesn't count the research prior to, right? That's just actually drafting the document.
Yeah. I figure my time with Seeking Alpha over the last 10, 12 years, I probably made minimum wage, you know, from it all, something along that line. Now, it's good for credibility and all this and that, but it's just they got to grease that system. I am always hearing we're going to improve the system. We know we have structural problems, but, you know, look.
Well, it's a good exercise on our part to do, but, yeah, you just want some of this information is timely, right? And so you want to, anything that can speed the process up to get it to to get it in front of eyeballs.
That's the real world. So, anyways, this chip ban going to be. I'm sure Iran and some of the countries that don't like us so much will be included in there. But we're trying to hold on. Protectionism, right? That's protectionism.
Trying
to protect your technology from other countries getting it.
Well, and it's no different. I mean, we've done it in various fashions over the years. I mean, for example, the F-16 that we have, right, is capable of carrying a higher payload than all of the F-16s basically that we export, right, that we sell to other countries. And so there's all these different forms of making sure, right, keeping your edge. And in this instance, it's certainly more out in front, right, and it's in the middle of earnings releases, right? I mean, where they're talking about these bans. So.
Okay, the other stock of the day before we go to break here, Shopify rallies after new app adds buy with Amazon Prime option to merchant checkout. That's crazy, okay? So now you're going to get all the benefits of Amazon Prime with Shopify. That's a big deal for Shopify. And Shopify's up 8% today. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. We have a pretty good rally going on in the market. The PCE, which is like the CPI, but it's the one that the Fed really watches the most. What's PCE stand for, Barry? Let's see, P, price.
Oh, you put me on the spot on that
yeah,
one.
I'm trying to think what it stands for.
There's a whole part to the survey, not just the CPI. You know, we think of as the inflation index. It's a personal consumption. It's called the personal consumption. I forget what the E part is.
Yes, okay. So the NASDAQ's up 91 right now. The Dow's up 105. That's one of the reasons the market's up, because of that inflation index, the one that the Fed watches the most, more so than the CPI. And
they came right in line, both of them.
Yeah. The other reason is you had a strong report on a good software stock, Salesforce. So that's helping the market. We got a pretty good rally, and I think maybe that we didn't have the damage done that was expected from Hurricane Idalia. Okay, the next stock, Arista. And the reason I bring up Arista Networks, we're disclosing everything we own here today. Arista's getting an upgrade.
I thought you were talking about another hurricane for a second.
Yeah, no, Arista I think it has been our number one. It was our number one ranked stock there for quite some time. It's currently ranked number 40 out of 5,884. And it is an AI-related stock. And it's getting an upgrade today at Citi. They say it's an early AI play. They upgraded it to a buy from neutral, and they raised the price target to 220 from 177, from 220 to 177. And the stock is having a good day. It's up 2.8% today. We like Arista too, ANET, A-N-E-T. Salesforce pops as analysts say momentum is back. Well, anytime you say that, that's gasoline on the fire there, and it's lighting up Salesforce, which is in the Dow.
And they've got some AI play, and that's the same thing with CrowdStrike in terms of them having a great report today. They've got, AI, I would refer to it as AI potential, visible AI potential. And so that's, part of that, part of that AI piece of that AI tailwind, right, is going to begin to hit some of those software stocks, particularly as they actually execute, right, some type of AI strategy.
Yeah. And of course, Salesforce has become the dominant player in customer relationship management, or any kind of Salesforce management. It's a powerful tool. I mean, it's like, wow, it's overkill. I grew up.
Yeah, database wise, right.
I grew up in the days of index cards, That's how far we've come.
An actual Rolodex.
And I got to be honest, index cards were just as effective as all of these powerful. By the time you put in all the notes and fill in everything, I remember the early days, 25 years ago, we could rattle through a lot of calls back in those days, and now you've got all this powerful software. Are we any better for it? I guess. Depends on what industry you're in. But anyways, the analysts say the momentum is back. Salesforce was pretty much a sideways stock for quite some time. I've looked at it several times. I could never squeeze much more than like 75% upside potential looking ahead. And that's kind of kept me out of the stock. And the fact that I think we have quite a bit of exposure to software stocks, and I think we own better ones than Salesforce. Salesforce is not growing as fast, as quickly as it was, even though they had a pretty good quarter. Their sales were up 11%. So I'm going to say they're kind of a mid-teen to low-teen growth company, which is much better than IBM and AT&T and stocks like that. But it's not the 25, 30% grower that got it into the Dow eventually, right? I mean, one of the great stocks of all time. Benioff, one of the great CEOs of all time. He's a big player in the World Economic Forum. You may not like the guy, but he's built quite a force at Salesforce. This is a $218 billion. You know, I remember, Barry, too, over the years, I used a lot of different customer relationships. There were a lot of small players in the industry, right? I remember one called Goldmine.
Right.
I loved Goldmine. We've had all kinds of different ones come along. And he kind of just took them all and blew them all away, kind of like what Word, Microsoft Word and Excel blew away all the small players in the industry. And became the de facto standard, and that's pretty much what CRM did. Although there are still, I mean, we use something called Redtail, which is kind of unique.
Well, and it's still databases,
business.
Right?
Yeah, it's the
yeah,
same
it's still
thing.
The database business, it's garbage in, garbage out, right?
Yes.
So it all depends on what you put into it, right, as a company itself, whatever software.
Yes,
you're
and the problem
versus,
I have,
you know, what comes out
is how much time it takes to put all that stuff into it. CrowdStrike
right.
rises
yeah, I mean.
As Wall Street impressed by leader in endpoint security. Okay, well, you know what? The software, cyber, the cybersecurity stocks, they've had their ups and downs over the years, but for the most part, that's been a pretty good place to invest in. And CrowdStrike is one of the premier stocks in that industry, without question. And that's a beautiful move there today. Wow, that thing is picking up steam. You know, a few days ago, it got a downgrade, and someone said, oh, they're going to miss their earnings estimates. I think that was on Monday, and the stock was weak. Now they reported actual results. That analyst had it wrong. Their sales were up 37%. So, okay, that kind of shows you the difference. I mean, when we're talking about the best ultra-growth stocks out there, a 10 or 11% grower is not going to make it anymore in that category. But there are young companies, younger stocks, younger companies, younger coming along that are still growing in that 30 to 60% area. And CrowdStrike is one that we've identified. What's their growth rate been over the last 5 years? It's averaged 164% per year since they came public in 2019. So, you know, another thing you can learn from something like this is companies go through different stages of their growth. And, you know, towards the end of their life, they pay a big, huge dividend and aren't growing anymore. And, you know, that's your IBMs, ATTs of the world. Okay, in the middle of that is kind of your Salesforces of the world and Oracle companies like that. And then these young and upcomers are companies like CrowdStrike. Their quarterly report, their sales were up 37%, and their earnings were up 106% year over year. The stock is up $15 a share, or 9.8% today. A very impressive quarter for CrowdStrike. Now we go to the other end of the spectrum.
You know, what's behind door number two?
Well, right. We've got a lot of Dollar Generals in the South. I mean, really, you go to a lot of these small towns, and that's what they've got. They've got a Dollar General.
Yeah.
And we've
That's what there is, convenience wise.
Exactly.
And there's really just nothing else unless you want to, unless you trek to the other town for a while.
Yes. So Dollar General, bricks and mortar, very much bricks and mortar. A horrible report. Horrible. And the stock is down 17% today. Now, I can remember, 15 years ago, this was a hot area of the market because it was a new concept. The 99-cent only store, we had a couple of giant 99-cent only stores, in San Diego. They were crowded all the time. It was a new concept and going crazy. And then along came some competitors. Dollar Tree was one of the best stocks I ever owned. I remember during the recession, Dollar Tree was up 66% during 2008.
Yeah.
Because people had to shop there, right?
Right, and that's recession. You would expect if a recession is on the way or what have you, that you would see people that actually be performing a lot better, but they're not.
But you know what? It's a crowded field now. There's not much room for growth, and Dollar General's the stinker of the day. Down 17%. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show, where I'm narrowing down the field through our featured stock of the week in this week's newsletter. Last week it was NVIDIA, just kind of a reiteration of NVIDIA because they had that blowout earnings, the earnings heard around the world. I've never seen an earnings report like that since I've been in the business. And I thought, you know what, to not highlight that, how can you not highlight the best earnings report you've ever seen? The week before that, we had another one that was AI-related. It's been doing really well since we featured that this week. I'm pretty sure I know what I'm going to go with, but there's a couple of possibilities. We'll see which one I end up writing. I have about five or six, really, right now lined up on the runway. So get the newsletter. Go to GundersonCapital.com to get 2 free weeks of the newsletter. And if you'd like to set up an appointment with us and own some of these stocks, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. And, of course, we weigh your risk tolerance, where you are in the whole retirement cycle, whether you're still in the accumulation phase, whether you're in the distribution phase. And that's why I designed these five different portfolios to kind of meet every little, quintile of where you might fall. And a lot of times we mix a couple of the portfolios together. It just depends. I mean, that's Barry's job as a chartered financial analyst and a certified financial planner. And then it's my job to put the money to work in what I consider to be the best stocks in each one of those different quintiles of the market. All right. Now,
yeah, and it's a lot about positioning different account types, right? In terms of certain account types, right? It's going to make sense to take a certain level of exposure, and other account types would dictate otherwise. So,
yes, for the very, very nervous, our bond fund has done really well. That's like, okay, you hold the bonds to maturity, 5.5 to 6, somewhere in there. And I've had so many people over the years say, I'd be happy. I'd be so happy just getting 5-6% a year. Of course, there's never any guarantees. Bonds have risk, but it's pretty rare. It's very rare that bond.
Entry point-wise, it certainly
that's
has
also
been an
my
attractive,
job.
Attractive space, right?
And then I would also say, the vigilance that we attach to it every single day, because there is another bear market out there somewhere. Another earnings recession, another recession in the U.S. economy. That's why I have to be so vigilant every day and gather as many facts as I possibly can on a daily basis to know where the risk is, to monitor the risk, and to take action if I think the risk is rising too high. Okay, now in the Dow, Salesforce, one of the stocks of the day, no question about it. It was added to the Dow maybe a couple years ago. They kicked somebody out. I don't remember who it is now, and they added Salesforce to replace it. Salesforce is up 4.3%. The other big winner in the Dow this week, and it's up again today, is 3M, 3%. You know what? It's on this earplug settlement. The sound to try to.
Unfortunately, they were ended up just being earplugs, right? Supposed to have noise reduction is what ear protections, but they really should have been not earplugs, right?
No. And then Cisco, which has been hitting a new high, it's been on a pretty good run. We have one client that brought in a portfolio that had Cisco in it. I've held it now for about 6 or 7 weeks. Because, hey, it's going in the right direction. There's no sense. When I prune portfolios, you know, I do it over time. If there's stuff in there that's working, I let them sit and let them work. Even though I don't care for the stock that much and don't own it, if it's working and moving in the right direction, let it sit. Johnson & Johnson is the biggest loser in the Dow. It's down 1.2%. One of the worst stocks in the Dow, in my opinion. Okay, SPY. That's the S&P 500. Western Digital, I don't know what the news is there. Did they report earnings? I don't know. But it's up 6.3%. Hey, that's a good chart. Boy, I remember Western Digital way back when they were a key player because it was all about storage back then and their disk drives. Of course, we've come a long way since then. I don't know. There's news on Western Digital today. It's up 6.3. It's the biggest winner in the S&P. But, you know, their earnings have been all over the map for the last decade.
Yeah, they got an upgrade. Wedbush, who you talked about a couple of days ago, they moved them. They added them to their, quote-unquote, best ideas list, right?
Yeah, and so, okay. It's not one of my best ideas. But, hey, whatever. Salesforce is up 4.3. Alcoa's up 3.2. Micron's up 3.2. Another stock that's very inconsistent, Micron, because it's such a commodity that they make. And then Applied Networks, or Arista, the one we own, is up 2.9, and Broadcom is up 2.8 today. Those are the leaders in the S&P 500. The biggest loser is Dollar General, which is not exactly a best stock now. Maybe it was 15 years ago, 10 years ago. Dollar General down 17% today. Dollar Tree down 2.6. And over at the NASDAQ, it's Western Digital, Micron, Broadcom, Adobe. Great chart on Adobe. And Amazon are the best performers today. So there it is. There's the day after Idalia, the hurricane, rolls through, comes ashore in the Big Bend area of Florida, rolls up through our area, through the Carolinas, Georgia. Then it headed out to sea, I guess, at some point last night. And it's done. It's gone. Not a lot of damage here. And obviously it didn't leave as much damage as the Weather Channel predicted. One of these times maybe they'll be right. I don't know. But if they'll find a twig in the street or a little puddle. I'm standing in a puddle right now. I'm broadcasting from a puddle in Santee, South Carolina. Well, okay. Anyways, now, the newsletter comes out, I'm working on it, start today, comes out Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon. You get 2 free weeks at GundersonCapital.com. We're coming to Michigan October 16th, 17th, and 18th. If you'd like to set up an appointment with us, we're going to be in Detroit at the Doubletree. I've got to get the exact name of that. I can't remember the name of it. But very nice place to meet with us, to meet with Barry and myself, to talk about your portfolio. You can call us at 855-611-BEST or go to our website at GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.